Hey, welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Thrilled that you're with us this morning. We're going to get Keith Antone joining us here a little later. Keith is, of course, comes from a little different political point of view than I do. I like to do that once a week. It helps me help you understand where the left in this country is coming from. And I'm sure that Keith is loaded for bear this morning based on what's going on up there in Washington, right? I'm sure he's offended. I'm sure that that he's going to come in here and he's going to describe to us exactly why this president is so wrong in so many different ways. Sort of like this.
No, I don't have a problem because I think there's somewhere, somehow, he's done something wrong.
Keith's not sure what he's done, but I'm sure he'll have some new ideas for us today. We'll get to that about 8:10 this morning. Be sure and stick around for that. It's all coming up. Boy, not much to talk about yesterday, huh?
No, not at all.
This blow up in the House of Representatives going on, of course. I've argued all along that effectively what this has done, I believe, and although I'm not nearly the strategist of this president, there have been some who said that he did what he did intentionally, and he's got a strategy to kind of force the Democratic Party to embrace these four members of the squad and therefore own all of their whackery. And that may well be the truth. But as Laura Ingraham and some others have put it, you could also say that it was a little bit of a misstep because the entire attention of the country right now and the mainstream media is on this. Many of them are using misleading headlines, labeling it racist, all this stuff, connecting it back to immigration policies. And in the meantime, some really good actions that were taken this week by the president have kind of flown under the radar, so to speak. Number one, the rule that was put in the regulations basically saying that public monies that go to family planning centers, they can no longer refer people for abortion. Planned Parenthood's going to go, ACLU's going to go sue over that, I'm sure. Also, this decision about asylum that basically says we're changing the way we deal with asylum seekers. They have to go to the first country they come to. Of course, the ACLU went to court yesterday afternoon to sue over that because it's controversial. And yesterday I had Tanya J. Powers on here from Fox News Radio. And I said, it strikes me, Tanya, that this is pretty much an internationally accepted norm because I thought I remembered that. So we've asked our friend Jessica Vaughn to join us this morning to talk more about this. She's the Director of Policy Studies for the Center for Immigration Studies. Jessica, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Great to get you back on the air here. Glad we could get you on this morning. Let's talk about this decision on asylum by the administration. This was something, in my opinion, that was long overdue.
I agree. I think this should have been done 5 years ago, and it would have saved people a lot of trouble, distress, and problems, and it would have saved our country from this mess that we have at the border, or at least having it get to this scale. But it is common sense. It's something that Europeans agreed to decades ago that, you know, if you are seeking asylum, you have to do it in the first country that you come to that is safe. Because it's called asylum shopping, if you don't, you know, sort of similar to the forum shopping that the ACLU is doing to file their lawsuit over this.
Sure.
But we do need to do it. And the reason is because the reason we have hundreds of thousands of migrants showing up at our southern border is because they have come to understand realistically that if they get here, show up with a child, ask for asylum, they will be released into the country and they will not have to comply with the very generous due process that we give them to resolve their asylum claim. Most of them don't even file the asylum application. Many have, more than half, have not shown up for their court proceedings. And then when they're ordered removed by an immigration judge and exhaust all their appeals, they don't return home. So it's clogging up the system for bona fide asylum seekers. It's costing taxpayers billions of dollars. this, you know, Congress won't fix it because they can't get out of their own way on immigration. The advocacy groups are blocking more moderate steps to try to fix this that the president tried to do. So now we're faced with needing to do this, which seems like a pretty big step. But honestly, if you, you know, if it had been, as I said, if it had been done 5 years ago, we wouldn't be in this situation today.
Well, it's true. And it gets back to what the whole purpose of asylum is. And if you, I went back, I did a little bit of research yesterday on what the United Nations has discussed when it comes to people seeking asylum. They, if they have to leave their country because they're in fear for their life because of actions of violence or war or their government, it basically says other countries need to be willing to accept people who are running for their lives. It, correct me if I'm wrong, Jessica, but my guess is the people that are fleeing Northern Africa and trying to get to France and other parts of Europe there are willing to get on overcrowded boats and risk their lives because they know that that when they seek asylum, they need to do it in the first country they can get to. That's what asylum is for, correct?
That's exactly right. When you're fleeing persecution that is done by the government, and not just fleeing difficult conditions, but it has to be persecution based on your race, religion, political opinion, and other factors under international law. And these, you know, the people who are showing up at our border have often traveled thousands of miles through a number of different countries that we're all willing to offer them safe haven. So it's not, you know, the idea is that you go to where you can be safe, not the place where your cousin went or the place where you think it'll be easier to get a job or the place that has the most generous welfare benefits. This was the principle that Europe adopted for the European Union. You know, the United Kingdom didn't want to be the destination for, you know, everyone from the Middle East. Neither did Sweden because of their generous social welfare system. So they all agreed, you know, the first place. Now, this meant that Greece and Italy and a few other places got overwhelmed. And that's when they actually took action to stop it at the source. We may see a similar chain of events.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and if that's the unintended consequence of this policy, I mean, that's a good thing. But didn't a European court, I think I found this on your website, a European Court of Justice ruled back in 2017 that migrants have to seek asylum in the first country they reach. So it's even been tested in court. And of course, England didn't ultimately benefit from that rule because of the open border policy in Europe and the European Union. Therefore, that I think that's one of the reasons it probably led to Brexit.
Yes, and well, Angela Merkel's decision to just say, never mind, everybody come in.
Yeah, well, that too.
Had something to do with that too. But yeah, I mean, this clearly is unsustainable. And it's policies of letting anyone show up and just say the magic word of asylum. It's clearly what is behind this surge of people who are giving up their life savings, turning themselves and their children over to criminal smuggling organizations to come here. And that, to me, is a very immoral set of circumstances leading people to do this. That's just wrong to entice people in this way. And it's causing, you know, some people are literally getting killed doing this. And it's time to put a stop to it.
Well,
there are other things we can do, but we need to first stop people from making this decision.
No, I agree with you completely. And the situation we've got here is getting outrageous. We have members of Congress, specifically Ilhan Omar this week, who refused to condemn the guy who attacked an ICE detention center, tried to bomb it, tried to injure Border Patrol guards and ICE folks who were there. She refused to condemn that sort of activity because of her outrage over how people are being treated on the border. And this is where this argument gets lost, Jessica, because people don't pay attention. They don't pay attention to the difference between legal immigration and the system we should have in place to process people who want to come here legally versus those who are coming here illegally, and the excuse they can now use to get into the country to basically It's a loophole in our law. If I claim asylum, you have to. I know you have to let me in. The Trump administration has wisely figured out a way to avert that. Do you think it'll hold up in court?
I do think it will hold up in court, and I think it also will be important in communicating the message to folks who are thinking about doing this that it's, you know, the party's over. You know, so that's just as important at this point. I mean, it's as you described, if we had a policy that said everyone with blonde hair can come in, all of a sudden everyone would, you know, be dyeing their hair blonde to try to get in. We're creating this magnet, and we have to change our policies to do it. And Mexico and Guatemala have not signed an official agreement to take people, but they have indicated that they will cooperate and that they're going to be offering asylum to people. And that's because the Trump administration said, you know, if you don't cooperate, this is quickly going to become your problem. Don't, you know, force us to really, like, shut down the border.
Right.
Because, you know, don't back us into that much of a corner. And again, if members of Congress do not like this, then they should sit down at the table and hammer out a better asylum law.
Well,
they have chosen not to do that.
Yeah, that's an argument that's long overdue. And in this environment, clearly heading into the elections in 2020, nobody in Washington wants to agree to anything that the president might be able to stand up and say, you know, I told you in 2016 this is what we needed to do, and here we are today. I don't see a political fix to this prior to the next election cycle.
No, I mean, yesterday I was on Capitol Hill testifying at a hearing before the House Immigration Subcommittee that was about backlogs in processing at USCIS, processing all kinds of immigration benefits, mostly green cards and naturalization of citizens. And everyone was just beside themselves about the processing backlogs and how long it takes to get these benefits and blaming it on the president. But the obvious fix is to change the fee structure at USCIS so that they can get the revenue. It's totally fee funded, and to get the staff they need in place. Nobody wanted to talk about that. All the members on the Democratic side just wanted to rush over and vote on the squad resolution.
Yeah.
They were not interested in discussing solutions to these problems that the advocacy groups are bringing them that have solutions that Congress can do something about. They were just falling all over themselves to go over there and vote for that resolution. And it was, you know, that's really a shame.
Well, it is. And that's kind of what we kind of reduced ourselves to, I'm afraid, for the next 18 months or so. I don't know where it goes. Listen to this bite yesterday from President Trump. Cut 18, please.
We're doing very well, but we have no help whatsoever from the Democrats, just the opposite. They want open borders. They obviously don't mind crime and drugs and human trafficking, which is a tremendous problem.
You know, we're talking to Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies. Part of the focus here that's distracted a lot of people are these detention facilities along the border. Some of them are private because of the Obama administration put them there to help with this influx of people a few years ago. They're still there. Is it just a money issue? Is it just a manpower issue? And is there any hope in sight that that flow of people will decrease now that these asylum seekers are going to have to stop somewhere else first?
Well, it's both a money issue and a policy issue. The problem is that the first problem is under U.S. law, when people come and show up illegally and ask for asylum, they're supposed to be under a Clinton administration era policy written by Bill Clinton's chief counsel at the immigration agency. We are supposed to detain asylum seekers until their cases can be adjudicated. But a judge in California in 2015 ruled that if someone has children, then you cannot detain them. So that's what led to the catch and release policy. So if you just could change that and allow the government to do it, you know, what the law says and detain people until we can get their claim processed and do it quickly, that would probably be the best solution. But, you know, the courts won't allow that, and Congress hasn't given the government money to do that anyway.
But this
so,
is,
you know, the Trump administration's trying to, I mean, I think that would solve it, but no one wants to do reasonable things. So now we have to do something which I think is reasonable, but it's a little harsher.
Yes. No, I would agree completely. I just wish that I can always tell people they can go to the Center for Immigration Studies, your website, CIS.org, and there are just some great articles up there on up-to-date articles, like the fact that Guatemala is now cracking down to some extent on illegal immigration themselves.
Right, and they don't want all of these asylum seekers either.
Yeah, you have to think that one reason they're doing that is they're starting to see what's going to happen here. People come in from El Salvador or some other country into Guatemala, then suddenly they're having to process amnesty requests, correct?
Correct. And, yeah. And they were perfectly willing to look the other way as long as we were perfectly willing to catch and release. Once we started getting serious, then they realized that this was going to become their problem too. And so now they're just enforcing their own laws,
yeah,
which helps a lot. And that's all we wanted. We didn't need a treaty to do that.
That's it. That's all we needed all along. Listen, Jessica Vaughn, it's always great having you on here. People can go to CIS.org or follow them on Twitter at CIS_org and keep up with their updates. Jessica, have a great day.
You too.
You bet. I appreciate that. Loved having Jessica on. Met her in Washington, D.C. a year ago when we were up there. It was fantastic. Found out at that point that she had worked at the tail end of the Reagan administration, which of course just endeared me to her.
Of course it did.
Forever. Forever. Can I just tell you that? All right. The bottom line with Keith Antone coming up, and we're going to get Greg Bishop on, who reports from Springfield all the time on some of the disasters that are going on over there. We'll be right back.